Morning. Turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 this morning. Now, the ushers have come down the aisle to make sure you have a Bible. If you don't have one, we'd be privileged to give you one. Just raise your hand. They'll pass the Bible over to you. And that's yours to keep if you need it. There's no charge, of course. Take it, use it, wear it out, pass it on to someone who needs it. But for all of us, let's turn now to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I want to begin with a question. It's just for you to consider, not to be answered out loud, but just to think about it, and that is this. Chronologically speaking, what are the first words recorded from Jesus? What are the first things that Jesus says in our Bible? Not counting any Old Testament theophanies or something where Jesus might have appeared, but just in terms of when Jesus came to this earth, when God incarnate came to walk this earth, what are the first recorded words of Jesus, chronologically speaking? Well, this morning we're going to consider them and let them kind of point us to what I believe God would have for us this morning. We're in Luke chapter 2. Pick it up all the way over in verse 41. Luke 2, 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And here it is, the first recorded words of Jesus. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. In verse 49, we have the first recorded words of Jesus. It is on my heart this morning to just consider some of the reasons that Jesus says as to why he came. This has been on my heart for a while, and I was just led to set this before us. We see from this verse that we're focusing on this morning, or at least kicking it off with, verse 49, we see from this verse that Jesus was a man, a God incarnate. Jesus was a Messiah on a mission. We see he knew it at this age of 12. He recognized, he proclaimed, he came here for a purpose. "Don't you know? I must be about my Father's business." If I were to ask you why Jesus came, if I went around the room, we won't, but if I went around the room and could poll people, ask people, why do you think Jesus came? I suspect most, if not all of us, could come up with some reason we believe Jesus came. And I would hope they would line up with Scripture, not just something we made up, but indeed, hopefully we could give biblical reasons why Jesus came. But that is a challenge. It's important that we do know why he came. Not why somebody in this world might say it or make up about it or twist Jesus around and somehow say something else, but why did Jesus say he came? And why is that important? How do we fit into all that? That's what we're going to consider this morning. I've called our time together this morning, my Father's business. Let's pray. Father, and how we thank you, we can call you Father. Thank you that you have a plan, a purpose, a plan, a purpose for which you sent your son here. Lord, help us to be reminded of that. For some, maybe for the first time to learn of it. But Lord, in all of us, Lord, help us then to just rest in it. To soak in this awesome purpose for which you sent your son. Lord, I pray it help the heat not have effect on us. Help us to not be distracted by things going on around us. But help us look up. Help us to hear you, Lord. In this time, let there be the encouragement and the ministry you want to take place. So, Lord, now help us to gain from this. And in the end, Lord, help us go out and let you just work that work, get us and through us that you desire. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 49, and he, Jesus, said to them, "Why did you seek me?" We read There's a lot here. We won't go into so much. I just read the other verse, set the context. They come looking for Jesus. They find him there in the temple. But he says this important thing. Why are you seeking me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? So these are the first recorded words of Jesus. This is the only record of the years between his infancy, from about 2 years old, until he begins his public ministry when he's about 30. So there's all these years before this, and then some 18 years after this. This is the only thing we learn about it. Now think about it. God purposed this to be recorded. So of all the thing in all those years, this he recorded. He made sure we know it. And what is it? Jesus declaring his mission. I must be about my Father's business. Now think about that. Of all the things, he wants us to know that. Jesus, as I said earlier, was on a mission. And what was the mission? What was he called to do? I must be about what? My Father's business. Apparently the Greek here, as you study this, it tells us, it allows for some different translations to a degree as part of this verse. If you have a New International Version, you probably have it here where it says, why were you searching for me, he asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Well, what it really say there is I have to be about the things of my Father. And then different translations kind of word it differently. Wiest, a guy named Wiest, Kenneth Wiest, good Bible scholar, says that it should be, and he said to them, why is it that you were searching for me? Had you not known that it is necessary, there's the must, in the nature of the case for me to be occupied in the things of my Father. So that's the idea here. That's the idea is the same thing. Jesus would be found being about one thing. What is it? About his Father's business. God is in business, but not a worldly kind of business, as we're going to see. But God has something he's about. Something he wants accomplished, something he wants known. And Jesus is sent with this must, the holy must. I must be about my Father's business. So again, these are those first recorded words. And in reality, those words are a summary of the whole earthly journey of Jesus. For in Jesus you find the one who did always the will of the Father. He came here with the goal of everything he did, he would be about his Father's calling, purposes, about his Father's business, about the things of the Father. Now, the must here, when Jesus says, I must be about the Father's business, the must here in the original, however else the rest of the verse might be translated, it is there. And they're emphatic. Jesus is emphatic here. His first words are, don't you know? I must be about this. And the Greek word translated must there means this, must, to be compelled. Now remember this, it's going to be important later when we apply it to some things. The word translated must there means to be compelled, to consider no other options, ought, should, had to go, an absolute necessity, an imperative, a compulsion, destiny. Those are all translations or other ways to take that word there. He had to do this. He was driven to do it. He has a passion to be about the Father's business. So, the compelling force, what moved the Lord forward, the must behind all of Jesus' teachings and all of his doings was ever the same, the things of the Father. So as we listen, as we watch Jesus, we are seeing him doing the business of the Father, the things of God the Father. So, that being the case, what were they? What were some of the must, if you will, that Jesus points to as he made his journey through this world, as he walked this on this mission that he was on? What are they? What is the Father about? Why was Jesus sent? Now, some of us, you say, well, I've heard this. Well, we can be reminded of it. But it's going to stir all of us, I hope, and bless and encourage us to think about. I'm going to, just a moment, put some verses with some points upon our overhead. And it's going to be a list of some of the things that Jesus said, why he came. A couple of them are just going to be things talking about, summarizing why what the must was of the Father's business. But before I do that, I do want to quickly point something out. The list that we're going to consider, it is not comprehensive. As I got into studying for this morning, as I got into this topic, I found out that I'd bitten off more than I or you could chew on a Sunday morning, because the Bible speaks much about this. So no, this list isn't exhaustive. However, it will serve the purposes for this morning. It will bless us and move us forward in the point I think God has. So let's just take a moment now, and we're going to consider some verses, and we're going to look at the reasons that Jesus says why he came. Now as we do this, I encourage you to either write down or try to remember the summary of the point. Remember, we're looking at why he came. And we're going to make some application afterwards or consider some things. So jot these down if you should feel so led. I believe it'll be for your blessing if you do. So why? Well, what is this must? The must of Jesus. He's on this mission. What is the Father's business? What is he? Why did he come? Well, let's just go through some of these. There it is. First of all, again, there's no particular order here, just some samples. He tells us he came to seek and save the lost. Many, many, many verses point out that that was the mission that Jesus was on. Why he came was to offer salvation. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come. This is Jesus speaking. He's telling us, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, if he's seeking and trying to save those who are lost, that implies that we are lost. It points to our condition. Lost. And if something is done from the outside, we're in big trouble. But God, because he so loves us, sent his Son on a mission. I must be about my Father's business. And what is it? To seek, to go looking for us, and to save the lost. So he came to offer salvation, is the idea. You can be happy about that if you choose to. There you go. Oh, yeah, I got you. There you go. All right. The next thing we're going to look at as to why he says he came. He came to call sinners to repentance. That as part of the salvation experience, we'll need to respond to the offer. Again, just one verse out of many, Mark 2:17. When Jesus heard it, he said to them, now we're looking at why Jesus said he came, not some person or group, why he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It's not that they're righteous people, but he was speaking in particular about the Pharisees and all thought they were. Now, he's trying to help them see, because the Bible tells us there are none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned. All need saving. And so he's telling them, I've come to call sinners, and that's all of us, to repentance. So, come to seek and save the lost. And what will be our part? To respond. To repent. Now, don't, you know, that's such an old-time word. Oh, repentance, fire and brimstone. Repentance isn't fire and brimstone. Repentance is an offer from God that you can turn around. You can be saved. You can have a new direction. You can have a new purpose. You can have new life, be a new creation. Think about that. Repentance is an offer. It's a hope. You can turn around. And that he must tell us. He came, I must tell you this. Turn around and be saved. Third thing we learn as we go through with some of the things Jesus said, we learn that he came to give his life as a ransom, Matthew 20:28. Now Jesus again sharing why he came. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So how would this salvation occur? We just kind of pull up our bootstraps and we become good people, and so we deserve to go to heaven. No, repentance is only available. The lost can only be saved because he came to pay that price. The cross was always out ahead of Jesus. He came as a ransom, the payment. Now, wonder of wonders, what's the value of something? What'd you pay for it? How much for that stereo? Oh, it's $1,000. Ooh, okay. You know, how do people, where are diamonds? Because you pay people pay more for it. Why is one work of art considered more valuable than another? Well, they paid more for it or something. How valuable are we to God if you consider that it was by his precious blood, that he's the payment, that he's the ransom? I don't get it. I look in the mirror and I go, Lord, that's not there's some inherently wonderful thing about me or you, but it's his love. We are the focus of such a love that a price was paid beyond any billions that could be paid for a diamond or artwork or something on this earth. Because silver and gold can't purchase our salvation, no matter how much you had of it. It took the blood of Jesus. But he paid it. He came. I'm on a mission here. I'm on a must. What is it? To go to the cross. To pay the ransom for us. Well, we got to scoot along here. Why else did he come? Well, this is an application of the last thing we just read, but it's a focus on another part of that statement. He came to serve. Mark 10, 43 through 45. They were just talking about how the Gentiles lorded over one another. The people in authority, they're heavy-handed and all. They're dictators over others. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man, here it is, he's saying, did not come to be served, but to serve. And then the give his life as a ransom for many statement, which we just addressed. But I want to also see, he also says he came, why? God incarnate came here. Could he not have had the right to come and say, I'm here, now you better serve. You better serve me, do what I... But he said, I didn't come to be served, but he came, this mission I'm on is to serve. What an example, what a focus. He came to serve. What else do we learn about why he came? He came that we might have life and just a little bit better life. No. He came that we might have life more abundantly. Now, this isn't speaking about abundance like material things. This isn't a name and claim and health and wealth thing. John 10:10. The thief, the enemy of our souls, does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come, Jesus said, that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So he gives us eternal life. But then he also says, oh, and as far as your journey here, I want it to be a spiritually abundant life. Again, he's not promising us a rose garden, but he is saying, if you'll abide in me, you can have the peace and the joy and the love and those things that you really thirst for, you really hunger for. I've come that you might have life, eternal life, and that more abundant. Eternal and abundant. The must, remember we're looking at the mission of the Father's business. Well, scooting along. He said he came to fulfill the law and prophecy, Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. In Jesus, you have the one who fulfills the law. And he nailed the requirements of the law to the cross, the Bible says, for us. We couldn't keep it. We'd fallen short. But he deals with its requirements by taking sin's penalty upon himself. And he came to fulfill prophecy. That from the beginning to end, this is about Jesus. And it shows us that he is indeed the Messiah, God incarnate, the Savior. That's why he came. The must of the Father's business, that they and we would have ample reason to believe. We could search the Scriptures and see that these things are so. So he came for that. Now these next couple are kind of interesting. He says he came to bring fire. Luke 12:49. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish you were already kindled. There's some discussion amongst commentators what that might mean. Some say it's the fire of the Holy Spirit. Most lean towards this means the fire of judgment. Fire in Scripture was always judgment. Fire sorts things out. It reveals what it's made of. Matter of fact, it's going to fit the next one. I'll go there. He came to bring judgment. Again, we're looking at why he said he came, John 9:39. For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see maybe made blind. Remember, he's talking about the Pharisees. They thought they could see, spiritually speaking, but they were blind. And him coming confronted that, revealed it, that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, though they purported to spiritually see, were spiritually blind. But meanwhile, he gave sight to those who recognized they didn't see. They needed spiritual sight. And so, just as the man who was physically healed of sight said, I was once blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. That's what he's talking about. But I've come for judgment. That God doesn't just wink at sin. You'll have to do something. There's a response needed here. You'll have to choose one way or the other. For there is judgment. If we don't receive Christ, then we face the judgment. And you don't want to be there. You can't pay. You pay that price by spending eternity separate from God in hell. But he doesn't want that. He's called us to be saved. But he's saying, we're looking at why, what this must of his business is about. Well, we look at the next one. He says he came to be king and bear witness to the truth. Starting at John 8:37. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who's of the truth hears my voice. So we just point out two things there. Jesus is the king of kings, the king who went to a cross that we might be part of his kingdom. A kingdom that's eternal, not an earthly kingdom. So he came for that. And he says, and I came to point to the truth. The world is full of lies. The enemy throws lies at us. This culture sets lies before us. People lie to us. Live for this, believe that, go this way. Lies all around us. We are a people who need truth. God knows we need truth. So he sent his son, who is the way, the truth, with a capital T, and the life. And in him we find truth. And in the word we find truth. I just love soaking in these this morning. I love looking at all this. I mean, how awesome it is that he's come, that you and I can know there's something true. Something to live our lives on. Something to anchor down into. Truth with a capital T. If you're really seeking truth, if you really are seeking truth, you will end up at Jesus. Because he is the truth. Well, pressing along. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, this one, I'm just kind of bringing in this one. It's not a direct statement of Jesus for why he came, but it was pertinent enough, and it's a scriptural reason. John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Because we have other scripture that does tell us indeed that he came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to break the power of sin. He came to set us free from that. He destroys the works of the devil. We don't have to live in fear of the enemy anymore. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world, if you're a Christian. He breaks the power of the works of the devil. Again, you can get excited anywhere. Anyway, moving right along, he came to reveal the Father, he says. John 14:9, Jesus said to them, have I been with you so long, and you've not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? He's on a mission. He's come to do what the Father wants him to do. We're looking at some of those things. And one of them is, so we'd see the Father. Know what the Father's like. What is God like? What's he want? Is he out to get me? Am I in big trouble? So we learn from Jesus as he speaks to his mission, this must. We learn that in Jesus you see the Father. Too many people think, well, there's the mean God of the Old Testament, then there's loving Jesus, meek and mild. You see the Father through the Son. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son. So he came to reveal the Father. Oh, what we see. What we see. What good stuff this is. He says he came to do the will of God. John 6:38 and following. For I have come down from heaven. Jesus speaking, this is why I've come. I've come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Whoa. Amen. That's the mission. The Father's The Father has a business. He's about a business. And there we see. And Jesus says, and that's what I'm about. I've come down to do that. Not my will, what I'm doing, this offer of salvation and all, it's the will of the Father who sent me. This is what he's about. What awesome stuff. Well, moving along, he says he came to preach. Luke 4:43. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I've been sent. To teach is to expound scriptures to believers, to edify them, to equip them, to build them up. To preach is to proclaim the need for a Savior. It's to proclaim the good news. Jesus said, I've come to preach, and not just to one city, not just to one person, one little group, but I got to keep moving on, because it's for everybody. My Father's business is for everybody. And so I've come, the purpose I came was to proclaim good news. I've come to preach. Now here's an interesting one. He says he came to send the sword. Watch this, Matthew 10:34-36. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoa. Wait a minute. What's he saying? That there's no neutral ground. There's no middle ground. You must individually, personally receive of Christ as Savior, or you don't. But the minute you do that, you are in one of two camps. See, a sword divides. He's saying, I separate people. The Lord doesn't look at us like, well, there's the Calvary Chapelites, and there's the Baptist, and there's the Methodist. He looks at two things. There are those who are mine, my children, and those who aren't. Those who have received my offer of salvation, and those who aren't. He'd have us all receive, but he lets us choose. And our choice divides. It separates. It will set us against one another. There's a division, so to speak. There's a separation there. You must decide. There's a sword. It divides. And he is that division point. What you do about Jesus. And don't put it off. No decision is a no decision. You must receive and do it today. So he comes to bring a sword. He's saying this. He came to provide a pattern of holy living for Christians. Not how we get saved, but how we're to live as we are. Once we are. 1 Peter 2:21, this is just Peter pointing back to it, but I want to include it. For to this you are called, speaking to believers, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Now, you can't do that on your own, but as you receive Christ, he gives us the Holy Spirit. He puts that power in us, and then he says, now follow Jesus. Not how to get saved, but what we're to look like after we have. So he came to provide us that example as we live in Christ. Well, covered a lot of ground there, didn't we? And that's only a sampling, only a sampling. But please know, I understand the list is not exhaustive, but we can at least begin to get the idea of what I believe what God would have for us this morning. Listen again now, in light of just some of these things, as to why Jesus said he came, what he's about while he was here, listen to it again, Luke 2:49. And he said to them, why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And we saw that that must was a drive. It was a passion. It was his mission. It's what he was purposed to do. It's what he was about. It was his calling. What word you put to it? It's his passion. So, since he must be about his Father's business, and we've read these verses that just at least touched on these things that he says as to why he was here, based on just the sampling of Jesus' own words and all, why he came and all, what is the Father's business? What is the... I must be my Father's business. Well, as I listen to you, Jesus, I begin to get insights about what your Father's business is. But you know what? I'm asking the wrong question. At least one word in there is wrong. Because it's not what is the Father's business. It's who. Who is the Father's business? Now that one you can answer out loud. Who? Put your name in there. You and I are the Father's business. No, that doesn't bless you. Well, it should. And it's so awesome. We are the must. We are the ones that he said, they got to know. I want them to know. They can turn around. They can be born again. They can spend eternity with me. They can have purpose for living. They can have the joy and the peace and all I purpose for them. I must. So he was must about, and what the Father's business? Us. Saving us, loving us, bringing us back into why we were made. All those things. That's what he's about. We are the answer to the question. Now, if you had made a list of these things, remember I said to kind of get a handle on what each of those verses pointed to. So I'm going to go around and you can name them for me. Did you write it? Good way to have you upset with me, huh? You embarrassed me. But think about it. Just summarize them, just briefly. What do we even look at just this morning? And this is just part of them. He spoke of what? He spoke of the fact that there is repentance now. That the Father's business is to offer you the opportunity to turn around. That you can discover the hope and all that's in him. Turn around. He used to talk about his mission was to come and seek and save the lost. He's after us. He's seeking us. He wants to save us. We are the lost ones. He's offering salvation. How's it going to occur? Through a ransom. He came. He said, I came to give my life as that payment that only I could pay for you. I've come to be a ransom for you, to purchase you. I've come to serve you. Not to be served by you, but to serve you. I've come that you might have life and that more abundant. I've come to fulfill the law. I've come to fulfill prophecy. I've come to bring fire, judgment. It must needs be. God can't wink at sin. But he's giving us his answer for it. He's come to establish a kingdom. He's a king who went to a cross that we might be part of his kingdom. He came to reveal the truth to a people who need truth. He came to destroy the works of the devil, to set us free from all that. He came, he said, to reveal the Father. He came to do the will of God, he said. He said he came to preach, to proclaim good news. He came to bring a sword. He said, there's a dividing, yeah, there's a decision you need to make. But his call is to make it in his favor, of course, to receive. He came to provide a pattern for living in his power. So who is all this aimed at? Who is the Father's business? Us. Soak in that. Don't let anybody rip you off from it. Nestle right down in it, and you watch what it'll do for you. As it encourages you and blesses you and all that is wrapped up in it. Who, for whose benefit is the holy must of Jesus? Whose benefit is, what's God's business? What business is he in? Us. It's all aimed at us. An interesting thing. And as we find that must, because see, in his must for us, we find our must. What it means, we find the very means and purpose for living. But it's not a, I have to, so I'll be saved. It's not a, well, okay, God, uncle, okay, I'll do it. No, it's, whoa, I'm loved like that. I'm the focus of that. Lord, I choose. I willingly say, Lord, I must be about your business also. Again, not to earn something, but just to rejoice in and enjoy it and all. I can invite the worship team up as they come wrap us up in song together. This morning, have you received of why Jesus came? Have you received the one who this is all about? You must if you're going to have eternal life. Go to the prayer room as we wrap it up. Personally receive Christ as Savior. I'm not asking you to join the church. At least not this church. You'll join the collective church of God. But you know what I mean? I'm not asking for money. We don't even have a membership role here. We're simply saying, if you ever receive Christ, come do it. Go to the prayer room and do that. But are you his this morning? Then all this is aimed at you. His must is for you. The Father's business is you. Rejoice. Think about that. The must of Jesus is for us. We are the Father's business. That's good stuff. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of your love. Thank you. Thank you. And you sent your Son to reveal, to make known, to purchase, to proclaim all that's wrapped up in just Jesus coming and the message and the work and all of the Son. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you that in your mercy we can sit here and know you, that we can discover why we're here. Lord, indeed, thank you for that must that Jesus had of being about your business. So, Lord, we just want to together give you thanks and help us to go out here and live out our thanks. And all glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen.